I bring you grace and peace from our risen and ascended Lord and Savior, and from God our Father. Amen. They say that beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Is that really true? That beauty is just a matter of perspective, or it's just a matter of opinion? If you went back to the days of the Renaissance, you'd find people disagreeing with that idea. Because back then, art was something reserved for a select class of people and experts in the field. They saw art as something that was objective. It was to meet a certain criteria, require a certain expertise, and only then could you really call something beautiful. Leonardo da Vinci lived during that time, and he created one work of art that was supposed to portray the beauty of what we could be. It was called Vitruvius Man. And if you've ever seen that drawing of a human being and his with outstretched arms and feet far apart, that's the one I'm talking about. It was supposed to depict the ideal proportions of a human being. And it was based on the work of a writer named Vitruvius. The outstretched arms and the perfect balance and ideal proportions, not only of a human being, but it was supposed to also express what the whole world was to be. Today, art critics would probably not agree. Today, art actually is seen more of a matter of opinion. You don't need to be an expert. It's something open to interpretation. And so artists can simply reproduce work, reprint copies of things, paste it together, and create a collage of something that is supposed to be beautiful. What does it mean to find something that's beautiful? What we see in art today is really reflecting a bigger cultural idea. That as a culture, as a world, we are all just a fractured society with many different opinions of what is beautiful or what is true. How can we as a conservative congregation of Christians hold to a unity of the faith, a unity of truth, a unity of something beautiful if it's all just a matter of perspective? In our text today, God paints a picture. And this picture is of something beautiful. It shows, in a sense, Christ, with his outstretched arms, feet firmly balanced, as he reaches out and brings together all whom he has called to be his own. Today, God paints a picture of the beauty of fellowship. We turn to the Old Testament for this picture from Psalm 133. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head, running down the beard of Aaron, running down in the edge of his garments. It is like the dew of Hermon, descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. This is God's word. We pray, Lord, draw us to you. Amen. We sometimes get the idea that fellowship and the teachings of the church are a New Testament idea, as if close communion is only something that's been practiced among Christians since the time of Christ. But you see how even in the Old Testament, believers were practicing the very same principles of fellowship. And in our text, the writer draws on two pictures. The first one is of Aaron, as he's anointed to be the high priest of Israel from the book of Exodus. And the second is about the church, what the Old Testament would call Zion, a picture of the place where God dwells among his people. He shows us the beauty of fellowship. And in this first picture, we're reaching back to the book of Exodus. We're reaching back to Exodus 28 and 29, when Aaron was anointed as the high priest, as the one who would represent all of the nation of Israel in their worship and in their offerings to God. The golden-colored liquid is seen streaming down from his head, dripping from his beard onto the edges of his blue vestments. You can smell the fragrances of cinnamon and myrrh that are mixed in the oil. The oil has been prepared just as God intended it to be made, because this was holy oil. Aaron is kneeling before the tent of the tabernacle where they meet with God, and Moses is approaching. Aaron's eyes are closed and his head is held high as he waits, and Moses approaches with that basin of golden oil. He pours it over his head. It drips off his beard to the edge of his blue vestments. He's been chosen as the high priest. The priesthood was entrusted with one basic responsibility: ministering God's holiness. That is to say, to make the people acceptable, to worship God confidently and with faith. The priesthood was the group of people in Israel who stood between the congregation and God. They offered the sacrifices, they offered the prayers, and they brought back God's benediction, his blessing, to the people. Aaron was the high priest, which meant that one time a year, he was the one who would go directly to God behind the great veil in the temple and offer the blood of a sacrifice, which would make the worship for the whole congregation acceptable in God's eyes, because that blood had provided atonement. Atonement for sin, forgiveness. Behold how beautiful it is, how pleasant. It's like the precious oil upon the head running down the beard of Aaron, running down the edge of his garments. The beauty of fellowship is seen in having someone who can go before God, stand there on our behalf, and bring us into God's fellowship, bring us into his holiness. What Aaron was doing as high priest was only a picture of something greater that was happening. It was a picture of the one who would come to truly stand in God's presence. And who was that? Jesus. Jesus is the one who stands in God's presence, who's been anointed. The word Christ means the anointed one. The one who's been chosen to stand in God's presence and make us acceptable, to cleanse us from all of our sins by offering his blood to God. That's how the beauty of fellowship is established. It's in the anointing of God's Son as our high priest. But how do we expect it to last? How do we expect this fellowship to last? We all know in marriage or in church, there's going to be differences of opinions. There's going to be problems and arguments. How is this beauty of fellowship going to last? Leonardo da Vinci's work was based on a man named Vitruvius. He had written a book which was outlining the proportions of the human body. It showed a ratio of arms to height, of head to torso to legs, to try to picture what it would be to be the ideal man. And da Vinci brought these words to life as he sketched that picture of the Vitruvius man. When we look for beauty, is that what we're looking for? An outward image of what perfection should be? Is it just a Hollywood picture or magazine of the top 100 most beautiful people, and it's pasted on the front of a magazine? Well, how long does that last? How long does that Hollywood image of beauty last before it's tarnished? Before they get caught up in addiction or depression? Before they grow old? Before they find that their whole reputation has been smeared by sin gossip in another tabloid magazine? If we think that the beauty of fellowship is going to last because of our efforts or because of how nice our congregation looks to others, we're fooling ourselves. That kind of beauty in this world just never lasts. If we think that the unity of our confession or our worship is going to last because of us, we're wrong. Because how much makeup will it take to really cover up? How much makeup can we do to cover up our sins? How long will it be before the paparazzi catch you? Before the devil finds you in that situation where he snaps a picture of what you've done when you thought nobody was looking? Or when he records a video of a conversation you've had when you thought nobody was listening? It won't be long before the ugliness of sin can find its way into our lives, into our families, relationships. The only thing that makes the beauty of fellowship last is because it comes from above, because it's not found in us, because it is like the dew of Hermon. It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. The dew there rises each day. The droplets gather on the edges of blades of grass, and they begin to form a stream. A stream that seems to have no beginning and no end as it cascades over the cliffs and comes down to the lower valleys, where the stream feeds into the city of Zion, the city of the living God. This picture is really not even of this world at all. It's not us, and it's not found in us. Mount Hermon is actually many miles from Jerusalem, and the rivers there don't feed into Mount Zion in any earthly way. But that's because the writer is talking about an earthly fellowship. He's talking about a heavenly fellowship. Zion as the holy Christian church, which is fed from above by water and the word. You can imagine the pastor reaching his hand into the water and lifting it up and pouring it onto the fuzzy head of that little baby. And there, the blessing is commanded. The word is spoken over water, and life forevermore is given. Baptism is what preserves us in this fellowship. The water and the word bringing us a blessing. Because we know in fellowship, controversy is going to arise. Now, controversy could come in any number of ways in a congregation. It could be about which next lawnmower to purchase. It could be about what teaching to follow. It could be about an argument or hurtful words or something the pastor did that is eating away. It could be any number of things that divide a congregation. The sin gossip that smears our reputation. But what keeps us united, what brings the beauty of fellowship here, is the water. That baby that's been baptized does not just leave the font to never come back again. No, that baby is you. Returning to the water every time you worship God, every time you pray, as God cleanses you from your sin, as the ugliness of your old man is drowned in the water, and as the dew of Hermon comes from above to bring you forgiveness and reunite us in repentance and faith again. this is a heavenly picture. Behold how beautiful it is. As Christ stands, feet firmly balanced on his teachings, arms outstretched to the edges of his church, as he gathers in all whom he has called to be his own, both now and forever. As he stands here as our high priest, praying for us and bringing us a command, life forevermore.